I've made a decision that while I have something I think is significant to share this morning, I want to share something else beforehand, and I'm not too sure whether it's in the context of a word of knowledge or whether you would put it under the heading of prophetic. Leslie and I, over the last few months, have encountered some situations that have been really quite despairing, really quite sad, where there's been sadness and where there's fear and anxiety, where there is uncertainty. And I would believe in some ways that that these situations that I'm thinking of, that now Leslie's wondering what's he actually talking about, but she'll be doing a bit of a recce and she'll be identifying these scenarios where there seems to be an absence of hope, and it's very real in terms of the future. You know, there's that scripture in Jeremiah that speaks about God's plans and purposes for us, you know, are good, you know, where we will have a hope for the future. And in these different scenarios that I'm thinking of, that Leslie's, I'm not going to look at her because she, yeah, I think she knows what I'm talking about, where there is an absence of hope, it's very real. And I felt this morning that that yes, I would bring this scripture, and this is not my message, so I'll try and be brief, because I wonder if maybe there's something in this scripture that would be helpful to someone here. You know, I've just heard in the testimonies of sadness and grief, where there's been loss, and where hope is necessary, you know, just desire and long for hope for yourself and maybe for your families and your loved ones. And I'm believing, and this is not, I don't think this is great insight, this is just downright common sense, to believe that there are situations represented in this congregation where you long for hope, either for your own circumstances or for the circumstances of your family. And in Romans 15, verse 13, it says this: may the God of hope fill you. Now notice, fill you, which doesn't mean just a little portion. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Mm. Now I checked that term abound, and it's the Greek word I won't even try and pronounce, but it actually speaks of quality and quantity. God wants us and our loved ones to abound in hope. And this was Paul's prayer for all believers, that the God of hope would fill you with all joy, notice all joy, not just a portion, all joy and peace in belief, in believing, so that by the power that comes by the Holy Spirit, you may be abound in hope. Now, we won't have an altar call, Warren, that would just bring great confusion, but would you raise your hand if that might be meaningful for you? And wow, God, what, I see that hand. So there are a number here, and I'm going to just simply pray that the truth of this promise, which is a promise, it's God's desire for you, that you should abound in hope, and that the circumstances of your household, of your community, and of your life may know a quantity and a quality of hope that God wants you to know. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your promises, and we thank you that faith is actually the substance of things hoped for, and we understand that that substance is you, Lord Jesus, the founder of your word, the author of your word. And I pray, and we pray together and ask, that there would be an abundance of hope imparted by you, Holy Spirit of God, into the lives and households and homes of each one of this congregation who long for hope to replace hopelessness and despair. Despair would be gone and replaced with hope that comes from heaven, that just brings an absolute change and purpose in the lives of each and every one in need at this time. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen.
Amen.
Now that was sermon number one. Sermon number two. I'd like to read to you from the Gospel of Luke that speaks of and is speaking of Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, who prophesied over John's life when he was only a few weeks old. And he says this, "And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of their tender mercy, because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." I believe that there is a significant factor in this scripture that speaks to me. And if you all need to leave and go home, I'll continue to preach the message and share the message, because this is God's word for me, and I'm trusting and believing it is for us all. Lord, we pray that your word would touch our hearts and our lives and bring about an advancement of faith and an understanding of the truth of your word, and that we might come into the knowledge of salvation through the purpose that you have given for us, which we will consider this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. One primary purpose of John the Baptist was to do what is spoken of in verse 77, which is to give his people the knowledge of their salvation that comes through and by the forgiveness of sin. And this morning I want to speak about forgiveness, and at this point you can all sigh a big sigh. I think if we don't hear this, you know, once a week, if we don't hear it 1,000 times, we hear it 10,000 times. Forgiveness is a theme and a focus that is so often shared in church and in our fellowship groups, the importance of forgiveness. And it comes, in a sense, our salvation comes through the knowledge of our salvation. That word knowledge is, there's the Greek word that you will all know, and I won't ask Warren because Warren will pronounce it correctly, but it's the word gnosis or gnosis, which is to actually be sure, to have an absolute certainty and an awareness. And one commentator, and I wrote this down, and I don't know who the commentator was, but his definition, I'm presuming, was a bloke. I'm not too sure why I should presume it was a bloke. Could have been a bloke, yes. But however, this definition of knowledge, where he refers to knowledge, this is a knowledge that makes a very real, tangible difference to your life. That we should have a knowledge of our salvation that just changes our life and brings an absolute effect on our lives. It's an old, cracked record theme, this theme of forgiveness. In Micah 6:8, it's a bit of a favourite verse of mine, and you'll know it. What does the Lord require of us? There are three things that he requires of us, that we should act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. And I want to just focus on this theme of mercy. This is what God requires of us, mercy. Mercy speaks of forgiveness, and forgiveness, there are three aspects of forgiveness. that we need to embrace and need to be embraced or engaged in and by, which is firstly God's forgiveness of us, but to know that God forgives us, to know that we are forgiven. But then there's that necessity for us to forgive one another. So I need to know God's forgiveness of me, and I need you, I need to know your forgiveness of me, and I need to forgive you. I mean, it's, forgiveness is an interesting subject, isn't it? Because we can sometimes feel very free to forgive others, and because it's a very empowering thing. I would often say to Leslie, I just confront her and say, Leslie dear, I just want you to know that I forgive you. Because her first question will be, well, what for? And I'll say, well, it doesn't really matter. I just want you to know that I forgive you. How powerful I feel, you know, I hold this great power of her life, that I forgive her for something that she doesn't know what she's been forgiven for. So perhaps forgiving folk is not so difficult. But in most cases, I need to come to Leslie and say, Leslie, would you forgive me? Because there are many things in our marriage and in our walk and in our life where I offend her, either in how I behave or how I speak to her or how she hears me speak of others. And I just need forgiveness. So there's God's forgiveness of me. There's my forgiveness of you, and the need for you to forgive me. But your forgiveness of me is not going to be realized in my life until I actually ask you to forgive me, which means I need to come and acknowledge the offense. And God knows I'm quite able to be offensive in my behavior. I need to ask, I need to seek forgiveness. God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of one another brings an empowering in our lives on all fronts, because it deals with the issues of offense. It deals with the issues of the past. And if we were to apply ourselves to the forgiveness and the nature of forgiveness that God demonstrates, goodness me, what a difference that would make in our lives. Isn't it interesting, just in passing, God's forgiveness of us, where the word speaks of him taking our sin, guilt, condemnation and shame and casting it away from us as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Isn't that interesting? And then there's another verse that speaks of how he takes our sin, guilt, condemnation and shame, and he places it behind his back, and he only remembers it on a few occasions. Or have I misquoted scripture? And he remembers it not at all. You mean not at all, Lord? There are many times when I will be reminded of my misdemeanors of the past and refer them to God. And he would prompt me and say, well, quite honestly, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. That's how he deals with our sin. That's the benchmark. Can we deal with one another in such a way? It's probably not possible in our humanity. But to have that goal, to have a culture of forgiveness in our lives, brings an empowering. While I withhold forgiveness towards you, and you withhold forgiveness toward me, it just disempowers our lives on all sides. God's word, throughout his word, clearly states that unaddressed and unrepented of and unforgiven offenses, where there is an unwillingness to forgive, and also where there's an unwillingness to receive forgiveness. Because in our pride and in our arrogance, we don't see the need to be forgiven, and that can be very real. It results in the lessening of are experiences of God's presence, power, and anointing. And it even perhaps prevents us from really rejoicing and celebrating in that assurance of the salvation that God gives us, and it becomes a lesser factor in our lives. And where there is a resistance to forgiveness in giving it and receiving it, I believe that can dull our spirit. Our spirit becomes dull to the Spirit of God. In our church life, we can sometimes wonder, and it's often asked, isn't it? Why don't we see more? Why don't we see more of God? Why don't we see more of salvation? Why don't we see more people coming into the kingdom? Why don't we experience more of the power of God's presence? Well, that's a common theme, isn't it? And we find that there are seminars, there are books written about it, you know. What is it that would bring us into a greater experience of the presence of God? Well, I wouldn't dare to make any claim about this fellowship because I know very little about it. And I wouldn't make too many claims about the fellowship that we're part of in Rangiora. Every community of faith will have their own unique characteristics and have their own unique problems. Every church will have aspects that are good, bad, and ugly. I won't try and imitate the sound of the music to that movie, which I love to do. But those of you who know the movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you'll know the music. You don't want to hear that this morning from me, do you? Go on, say you would love to hear that. No, probably not. But you know, the history of different churches will represent many things. However, I'm quite convinced that where unresolved conflicts within church life, within families, within marriages, unresolved, unacknowledged, where offences and hurts remain unresolved, and I'll direct this at me, where I hold on to an offence, and I know to do that, I know how I can do that, I know how to do that so well I could run seminars on it. Where I'm unwilling to forgive, where I also need to be forgiven but continue to hold on to my own pride or hold on to that offence, I believe I become a stumbling block in my marriage, in my family, in my home, and in the church that I'm part of. And I become a stumbling block. I can become a real vehicle of hindrance to the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm a believer in the fostering of the right culture in my own life, in my marriage, in my home, and in the church. The Baptist church, the Baptist movement, have certain protocols, and they have certain values. And one of the things that they encourage churches to do is to identify their culture. And I'm not too sure what Papanui Baptist Church culture is and what you identify as being your culture, but I'm now not claiming that this is a culture that I actually attend to well at all. In fact, probably not. But in our culture, in our church, we need to lay hold of the teaching that we need to invest in the unity of the Spirit. And there's a scripture that says, wherever it is possible to make peace, do so. And when I read that, I know it starts with me. It starts with me. Here's the challenge. It's a challenge. Challenge for me, maybe for you. I haven't wanted to offend this morning. But when you get to our age, don't you recognize, does it really matter? And you don't deliberately seek to offend. But I'm going to challenge you this morning and challenge myself. Is there anything in your life that has offended you? Have you been offended by somebody? Has somebody in recent times hurt you by what's been said or what's been done? Something even within this congregation, something within the congregation of this church, has there been an offense where you feel justified in being offended? This is the great thing, isn't it? You know, well, I feel justified in my stance. Well, maybe you are. But where you could make peace, it might be taking that person out for a coffee or a cup of tea. It could be by actually approaching somebody, and actually somebody who irritates you, that you specifically go up to and say, "G'day, how's it going? I hear you've got bunions. They're giving you trouble." Show an interest. Make an effort to make peace. I'm believing that when we take the first step for reconciliation, I believe there's a celebration in heaven, because there's a greater sense of, in God, I believe, I can now access these lives, because this is fundamental to my culture in heaven, which is one of peace, one of reconciliation that he has paid the price for. If this says anything to you, would you like to stand up and come to the front? No. No, we wouldn't do that. But maybe there is something significant in this for you. And we can now pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would open the way by which reconciliation can take place. Forgiveness can be given, and forgiveness will be received. And God will bless you. I feel like God would nearly ask me, this is a bit of a guess, give the guarantee, I will bless those who will seek to make peace and step out and become reconciled. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your great love for us. You loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father, to set us free from the offenses that we have pursued and have exercised in our lives, where we have offended you, where we have offended others, where we have sinned. Lord, as we confess our sins, you are faithful and just, and you forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, we acknowledge that we are prone to being offended and to giving offense. And we ask that by the enlightening of you, Holy Spirit of God, you would open our hearts and stir our hearts, convict us, and make the way clear for us to step out and offer the hand of reconciliation, to be humble and acknowledge our failings and our offenses against others, to seek their forgiveness, and that where we have been offended, to freely and generously forgive, so that reconciliation might become part of the culture of this community of faith, that peace might reign even from heaven. We ask in Jesus' name.